Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Here we are at the end of October, Barbecue Bob. Pheasant season started last week on the 20th, and commemorate that, I made a small purchase, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, thanks. Welcome to the show. It is the weekend, so it's time to get your extra special grilling skills in action.
That's right.
And we're don't do the average stuff on the weekend. You have time now to pull out the whiz.
Well, if your backyard's big enough, you can take one too. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit of cool weather grilling today. And just because, you know what? We finally got out of this summer weather pattern where we are anyway.
Dang it.
And we're now getting cold nights and not so hot days, which is, I don't know, just gets me in the mood to do more hunting and do more fishing and just get out and enjoy a flannel shirt, man. And this, like I said before, this is my favorite kind of weather.
And you got a new dog.
I did. That was the purchase that I was going to talk about. Is for the first time in my history, I bought a mutt. And but it's a gourmet mutt. And what I mean is she's half Labrador Retriever with a huge bloodline of hunters and half German Shorthair Pointer with a huge bloodline of hunters. But they just had a little weekend rodeo and got together and made a litter of mutts. And so I picked one up last Saturday, right after the show, went over and found one. Or I had been working with this lady and wasn't sure if I was going to get in line, and because somebody wanted two, and then they backed out and only took one. So I got the female, actually, that I wanted. So her name is Pearl, and Pearl is like having an infant in the house. She needs to get up two or three times a night, and you need to let her out or she'll make a mess. But she's asking already, and I think she's going to be bright, and I'm very encouraged. So we've got her sitting already, and she's 8 weeks old. So should be a good future. All I got to do is just work with her every day and make sure that she minds.
I think that's going to be a fantastic breed combination, especially if both parents are champions, to have to cross breeds like that. I mean, my dog is half Rott and half Airedale, and he was just crazy, crazy animal that, I mean, he's like human. He talks to you practically.
Yeah.
You talk to him anyway. I know every time you come over. So,
absolutely do.
I like mutts. We've had quite a few. I haven't bought a thoroughbred since probably the 90s. We used to do the Airedale thing. But
yeah, Gibby was my last one. I had to put him down right before Memorial Day. He was a hotbred German Shorthair. But this, we're going to see it. We're going to see how it goes, man. I'm excited to have a pup back in your life. I tell you what, it changes how you do things. I didn't realize what freedom I had until I brought her home, and it was like I'm just thinking about it now. It's like right now, if we're, you know, she's in some crate, and I got to make sure that somebody gets there and lets her out in the meantime. But it'll all work out. Looking forward to it. It's another chapter.
Last weekend we had Olivia and Jordan's birthday party. They're born like 6 days apart, 5 years and 6 days.
Yeah.
But so as long as we had Alex and Jordan at home, we'd take full advantage of that.
Sure.
Because it's time to put up firewood.
Oh.
And we got the camper out and ready for, they're going up to do some late bow hunting with me right before rifle starts. So we were working on the RV and cutting firewood. It was the worst firewood session I ever had. Here's how it goes. Now, I just got it's been a bad year for equipment in our house because my rider was in two or three times.
Right.
And that's
more?
A major thing.
Right.
Because that's a trailer deal. But I also took both my chainsaws in, got them tuned up and ready. Well, the new steel, the pull cord thing just, I don't know, disintegrated. I don't know what happened to it. It was acting up, so we had to start it a few extra times, and then it just goes wing. So that wasn't impressive.
And then did the rope break, or did the whole mechanism just break?
I don't know.
Up?
I haven't taken it apart. I'm trying to bring it back to the shop. But then my big rancher, Husqvarna, it just started puking and acting weird, and it was running so great. And so then we managed to get through a trailer load of logs that I brought back from the deer hunting property and started up the splitter, and that thing started acting up. It's backfiring and popping. We made it through a really ugly load of firewood, but it was the worst equipment day, and I went to start my pickup truck, and the battery was dead. It was just like...
Well, Bob, maybe you've been focusing on some other things the last 3 or 4 months with this house remodel, and you haven't, you know... Sometimes you got to do a little preventative maintenance, you know.
Well,
we talked about that.
With that truck, it just sits, and it's so old that I know it's got some shorts in it, and it's a battery killer. So I wasn't totally shocked about that. Sad, but not totally shocked.
Well, you jumped it and it fired right up, though, right?
But the wood splitter, that's been a reliable. It's got a Honda motor. I keep it covered. It's like been perfect. And wouldn't you know, when I get all this muscle with me, that's when it starts acting up.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of wood put
Well, there's
up,
a so. Split and maul and a wedge.
That's exactly what I'll be doing. So I have a few more wood parties if you want to come over sometime.
I'm busy. I don't even care to get warm in your garage. I'll just stand out in the cold if it means I got to split wood. No, yeah. I'd help if I was there, but I probably won't be there.
Yeah, so it's a good time of the year. What I noticed is the poison ivy is still really green. Everything else is dead.
Ah, so you can identify it.
So it's a great time if you live in the woods like me and you have a problem with poison ivy, which I do. It does not like me.
Right.
And I get it every year. I mean, it's really prevalent and very obvious right now. Everything else is brown. And that's just a beautiful green starting to get a little red to it.
Yep.
But the other thing that's crazy.
So spray me.
Other thing that's crazy this year is we've talked about it a few times, but I put that big raised garden in. I'm still pumping out tomatoes. And peppers.
Yeah. It's crazy. It was
like
a weird
Alaska.
Growing year, wasn't it? I think it was so dry where we are that finally you're getting a little rain and the things are still just kicking.
Well, I've got this one irrigated, so it's been pumping it out all year. But, I mean, I'm still growing small tomatoes.
Well, you think about it, though.
Awesome.
We've had these 75-degree days up until earlier this week, you know, and then you start get some rain.
You know, if you ever go to Alaska and see the stuff they grow up there, their days are so long. When I was up there a couple of years ago, I saw a 1,200-pound pumpkin.
Yeah,
and that's what these kind of climates can give you.
Right.
And I don't know if there's really such thing as climate change or whatever, but I've heard – I saw some of the natives or Inuit maybe from the North Pole, and this old chief up there, he claims that the sun is in a different position than it has been all his life. He's like a 90-year-old, the wise old leader of this village, and he says the sun comes up in a different position now. He claims that the axis of the earth is actually in a different position than it used to be. And he accredits that for his weather changing.
Oh, it's not
yeah.
It's
in
not,
terms
it's
of the,
not a carbon footprint.
In terms of the horizon where he sees it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which really interesting, and that might explain why they have so much ice growing on the South Pole.
Right. Yeah, it could be.
It could be. If that's the case, Michigan's going to be in great shape.
Right.
We're going to have much nicer winters.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see the almanac this year yet to see based on what we've had so far.
Sounds like a bad one.
Is it?
Yeah,
probably. I don't know, though. I wouldn't mind getting some ice fishing in. You know, we maybe ought to pull together a little trip back up to our friends at WUPS and try to hit tip-up town again
this
year.
That'd be great.
We missed it last year, so it'd be a lot of fun to head back up there.
I know.
And if you're listening up there,
the
grilling guys would love to come north during tip-up town and hang out, and let's get that organized.
The shivery for Black Lake would be fun, too, though.
Oh, yeah, that was always a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going to the Club 9-11 again. Maybe Maureen can hang on to her purse this time.
Yeah. Well, we got it back. That was a good thing. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some a piece of equipment that Barbecue Bob has been checking out, and he's got a few thoughts and ideas about it, how you might want to get one of these in your backyard. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Travel in my travel, unwind, unravel all night long. Makes me want to grab my honey, tear down some two-lane country. Who knows, get lost and get right with my soul.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Last weekend in October, Bob. Man, we're coming up on gun deer season. I can't believe it. I've been out twice with my bow so far just because I just can't get motivated when it's 70 degrees at night. Mornings are a little better, but still, it's like, man, I'm ready for a little bit of cold weather, and it's kind of on us now. So hopefully that'll spark my interest a little bit, and I'll get out there a little bit more. But I just can't get into it when it's this warm. It just doesn't seem right to me.
It's a weird year for me because I'm trying to get this remod project done, and when you have so much pressure on you to get back into your living quarters,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to think about being selfish and sitting out in a tree somewhere and hanging out at a fire with your buddies. Yeah. But I'm still going to do it.
It was hard, but I got through it. Yeah.
The only hard part is the look on my wife as I leave.
I think it'd be harder when you walk back in. just my opinion.
Oh, you hired that? Oh, no, that's fine. I've been doing a review on a product called the Solo Stove, and this is something I saw online. Oh, I've been watching it for maybe a year. They did a GoFundMe campaign on it. And I think it was promoted on Facebook or something, but it was it's this cool stainless steel can that you burn wood in, and it's more than just a can. It's got this ventilation system on it where inside the top of the can, it's double-layered with about maybe a half-inch airspace, and on the outside of the bottom, it's all full of holes.
Perforated,
and on the inside of the top, it's full of holes. So it pulls air in from outside and comes up the inside sleeves, and it flows into the top of the fire as it exits the can. And when I used to be in the wood stove business, that's how we built all our stoves, so that it infused oxygen at the top end of combustion where the smoke is. And what that does is it gives you what we call a secondary burn. This thing does that. It gets really hot down in the bottom, and it draws oxygen through those holes in the top and flows the oxygen to the top of a fire. Because if you notice a campfire, when you're sitting around the fire with your friends, it's always smoky. And for some reason, you'd think there'd be enough oxygen right around the tip of that it would burn the smoke. But
all depends who's sitting around bolt shooting.
But I think what happens is the fire itself draws so much oxygen that up above it, it's just dense gases. What this does is it lets that oxygen flow into the final stage, and it reignites it, and there's almost no smoke at all to the thing. That's the probably the best part of it, is you can sit around a nice warm fire and not rabbit, run from the smoke like you always do, and really kicks out the heat. So the one I'm previewing right now for Solo Stove is called the Bonfire. It's their biggest one, and it comes in a travel bag. You could take it camping if you're in a place where maybe fires are a bit dangerous, or they're dangerous anywhere, but if you're in a place where they're somewhat restricted, I'm thinking, you know, even little picnics or things where you just want to get up and go, and you don't want to have to bother trying to make a fire pit because combustibles or the ground you're on. This thing is...
So it looks like it's about 19 and a half inches wide, it says, about 14 inches tall. It almost looks like a big soup pot, right? Except it's perforated around the bottom, and you got this double jacket on there. I'm looking at this at Solo Stove, SoloStove.com, and this bonfire unit that you're doing. It's not so much a cooking device, is it? It's more of just bonfire?
They have smaller ones that they actually have accessories for. And they make the little pots that sit on them and coffee pots. And they actually have one that's like a backpacker size. And you just put little twigs in it and you put your pot on top of it. And it gets so hot, you can boil your water, your soup, your coffee, tea, whatever you're making, a hot rum toddy out while you're skiing. It's just a cool bit of technology. So I've been asked to do a review on this product. And
so what have you decided so far?
I'm in love with it.
Really?
I watched it in the Kickstart phase, and I looked at the design, and I saw a video of it, and I thought, that is just brilliant. Based on all the years I was in the stove business and watching wood stoves burn countless, they've had a bunch of them, sold thousands of them, and just love that technology of a reburn. Well, this thing does it in an open fire, and it's really a simple build, but the thing just works. And it's stainless. It's a stainless build. It's an American company, probably made offshores. I'm not naive, but either way, it is a fantastic device. So you go to solostove.com.
Yeah, they got them on sale right now for $299.
Yeah,
$50 off. So my question to you is that does it get super hot on the outside? I mean, you got a burn chamber on the inside, and then there's an air area.
First, it doesn't. And I kept touching it, and of course, we were having a couple adult beverages, and I filmed this several different nights, so I'm going to post the videos in the review on thegrillingguys.com.
He stopped filming when he had no feeling left in his index finger from touching the outside of this thing.
Yeah, well, one time after about maybe 20 minutes or 30 minutes of burning, I tried it again. I just kept trying it. And that baby finally really heated up, and I wasn't even careful. I just put my hands on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was whining, looking for snow to put on my hand.
Yeah.
But go to thegrillingguys.com for anything you need in terms of our recipes, podcasts. You can go to the top of the website and click the earmuffs, and we'll send the show right to your phone. There's a search bar up there, too. So when we talk about shish kebab, when we talk about venison marinades, things like that, just put the keyword in there, punch it up, and you'll find the recipe. There's just all sorts of recipes. You can also download any show you want. We archive them. So if like we had Babe Winkleman on a couple weeks ago, if you say, man, I'd love to hear Babe, just scroll down to that show, click it, and you can hear the interview all over again. And it's kind of cool, but it's a great resource. And of course, if you haven't liked us on Facebook, shame on you. Because we're there, / The Grilling Guys. And I'm on Twitter at Grilling Guy.
So we got another piece of equipment that you're kind of fond of that we haven't talked about before.
Yeah.
And that's this pop-up grill. Break that down for us.
Well, I've reached out to them, actually, because I do want to do a review on that. Just because I think it's a cool device that is actually going to work just like this Solo Stove does. And if you look at it in a bag, it looks like you're carrying a couple of cymbals from a drum set. You know, it's about 2 or 3 inches thick and about 2 foot around maybe. And it's a bag with a shoulder sling. And in that bag, there's 3 rings and a grate and the legs. And it's just this versatile, It's called the Pop-Up Grill, and you can go to popupgrill.com, or you can go to thegrommet.com. The Grommet is another cool website that has all sorts of devices, survival tools, just really cool, unique little things that are probably coming off Kickstarters and stuff like that. Small entrepreneurs making things that just make sense. Well, this pop-up grill comes from Sweden, and you can actually stand it up in the snow and make a nice little fire in the snow. You can use just the top of it over a fire if you want to
kind
use
of a
it
fire
as,
ring
as
with
a tripod
grate.
Grate. Yep. You can just collapse the thing, build a little fire in it, and grill with a very small amount of coals. But it's fairly inexpensive. I'm thinking it's only like about $100. So it's not overly ridiculously priced, and it's one of those things that it might even work for tailgating if they'll let you use charcoal.
Yeah, because you can build a fire in it, or you can build a fire under it and only use the ring and the grate. So it's a little bit versatile that way.
It's very versatile, and here's the cool thing. It's so compact. When you fold it up and put it in the bag and take it away, it's only going to take up a little bit of space. So if you think you can't maybe haul a grill with you because you don't have room, this might be the answer for that.
Yeah. And like you said, it's about 2 foot around, so you can get enough food on there to feed four people pretty easy.
Yeah, you can put four steaks on it, I think.
Yeah, very cool. Well, that's cool. So we've got the Solo stove and the pop-up grill, a couple new pieces of equipment on the market, at least new to the Grilling Guys, and maybe new to you. So Bob's actually tried that that Solo stove, and can gives that a good recommendation. We're waiting to get a piece of this pop-up grill, and we'll give you a little more after we've done that. Coming up next, we'll do a little full belly deli, and Barbecue Bob might make some sort of magnesium flint fire pit for us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You
bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys Show. Last weekend in October, man, hunting season's right around the corner if you're a rifle deer hunter. But a little pheasant hunting been going on. If you can find a bird out there, that's up and running right now. It's just a few salmon left in the river. Everything's just good to be outdoors. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Well, you are every fall you start doing squash on the grill, and I just think I still haven't tried it after all the years we've talked about it. So why don't you give us a rundown as to what kind of squash and what to do with it, and would anybody even really like it? Is it that good? Because squash sounds boring to me.
Well, it is, and that's why you got to jazz it up a little bit. And the ones I like the best are the acorn squash. They're shaped like an acorn, right? They're about as big as a softball.
Isn't there something called like a butterball or something?
Butternut.
Butternut.
Those are the ones that are narrower at the top and got like a bulb on the bottom. Oh. Those are the long, skinny ones.
Like a chiminea.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever. So the acorn squash are my favorite. And what I do is they've got a stem on the top. They look like an acorn, right? So I just take my knife and just shave a little bit off the bottom of it, not to get too deep, just a little bit to get a flat spot so it'll sit on the smoker.
Is that kind of green and speckled or something like that?
No, they're dark green. They're generally real dark green.
Okay.
And then I'll cut the top off them at about an inch down so that you're into the cavity, because like any gourd type vegetable, you've got seeds in there, and you want to dig that stuff out and just leave the meat of the squash in there. And then what I'll do is I'll take probably 2 big tablespoons of brown sugar and maybe 1/4 of a stick of butter. So it's already good, right? And then I usually put just a little dash of cayenne pepper on there just to give it a little, right at the end. And I'll put that cap back on there and set them on the smoker and just leave them in there for about 1 to 1.5 hours with the lid back on it, okay? Because that's going to create a little steam on the inside of there. It'll cook from the outside. It'll cook from the inside. That butter and brown sugar melts in there. Again, I'd caution you, don't cut too deep on the bottom because it'll leak through. So just a little nip, just enough to get a flat spot on there so it'll sit up on the grill and not dump over. Easy peasy. If you're smoking anything else, they're just over on the side.
So how much feasibly could I take off that bottom, 1/2 inch?
If that. I mean, they got a little point, like an acorn. You just want to knock that point off there so that there's just enough flat that it'll sit up. And you see it. I mean, you figure it out. But,
and they're still going to be a little wobbly, so you got to kind of be careful.
Yeah, but that's why you leave them on the smoker over on the side. And you can do them in an oven. You could grill them, I suppose. But it'd be indirect heat because you want to give it some time to get hot on the inside. Okay. That's how it cooks, and it'll melt that butter and brown sugar together. And then when you serve them, you open it up and you serve it with the lid on, right? The little stem is still there, and then you just open it up and that steam comes out of there, and then you mix that up, that butter and sugar. You kind of dig the meat out of the around the edge, and you mix that up in there. And then every bite's got a little buttery, sugary, a little bit of that cayenne pepper in there, and it's just different little twist on doing a squash with
a little
that
bit like pumpkin pie or something
like
that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's better than pumpkin pie,
really?
Frankly.
That good?
Yeah, I do. I really enjoy them.
Well, butter and brown sugar, you got me there.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to eat them every day, but this time of year, I eat them 6 times in the next 5-6 weeks.
So, like, if you were tailgating. And you were tailgating at, say, a bullfight, you could bring a gourd?
Sure. Yes. You might eat some of the bull that was gourd, okay? But I'm, here we go. But anyway, what do you got to talk about?
Something better than being gourd.
Yeah.
I was talking with our friend, Maggie's friend, Christian, and he's a big duck hunter. And I was asking him, what he likes better, duck or pheasant. Duck or goose, and he likes eating goose better than duck. But so I asked him what he did with the duck, and he said he does a lot of duck poppers. Uh-huh. And he literally takes those duck breasts and kind of butterflies them, and then he puts a mixture of cream cheese and some seasoning like chives and whatnot in the cream cheese, and then some nice slices, linear slices of jalapeno, wraps them up, and then wraps them in bacon and grills them that way. And that sounded terribly good to me.
Right. I'm wondering how he keeps the cream cheese inside the duck filet while it's cooking. Is he smoking them or is he grilling them?
I think he's grilling them, and I think the bacon's doing that for him.
Okay, so it's a bacon wrap around
yep.
there, and he might be putting a toothpick through there to
yes,
hold the bacon or something like that. Okay, all right, because just it's always a challenge when you're grilling anything if you have to roll it.
Right.
Evidently, you get to the seam at one point
yeah.
where now all your hot filling kind of oozes out. And so you just have to be a little bit careful with that. But other than that, that sounds really good. You know, the duck breast
you might want to grill the part with the seam first because
it's not gonna
that
get as
cream
hot.
Cheese won't be too hot yet.
Right.
Then it might stay in place
yeah.
and then it'll
right.
might be one way. And it'll cauterize that area a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, that duck breast is very dark meat, very, very lean. So putting the cream cheese and the bacon combination there is going to get you some moisture. And it probably doesn't take long to cook. I bet that bacon, when that bacon's done, that duck breast is done because you don't want it well done.
Right.
You want it medium at best.
And I think you could marinate that breast too.
You know, I've done that when I'm down in Shartucky at bow camp. I didn't make it this year, but in previous years, guys have brought, you know, I'm the camp cook when I get there and I've got all the equipment and stuff. So
is that because you can't shoot?
Right, right. Yeah, I just am. I can. Yeah, they all laugh at me if they said, you know, if they told me 10 years ago that Joppy was going to be a cook, we'd have laughed because I didn't do much cooking for these guys most of the time. But now I do. Anyway, having said all of that, the guys will bring in whatever they shoot, whether it's geese or duck or they get deer or whatever, then they'll say, here, work your magic, right? And the duck
don't
is,
you love that?
Yeah, right. And you look around, and it's
pressure.
Like,
I've got salt and pepper
yeah,
and
yeah.
a gas range.
Right. The first year they caught me off guard, but I said, okay, I'm on to you guys now. So now I bring the oils from Old World Olive Company and seasoning, so I'm ready
the
to
somics.
Do. Right, do whatever I need
if
to
you
do.
You could do that with a duck breast. If you could just get a nice combination of a good infused EVO and a nice balsamic and give it a couple hours in that.
You,
that
yeah,
might be a nice.
You're
way
talking
to
about
go.
Marinating it.
Yeah,
yeah. You absolutely can, and there's a honey serrano balsamic that they have that's really good because again it's a little sweet and it's a little hot. You want to put a little bit of flavor profile on that duck breast.
That's what I'm thinking.
But you put that
get
in
rid
there,
of the wild game taste.
Right, and then so that and I again like you said butterfly them out so they're pretty evenly thickness. And then just put that on there, and I'm grilling that on the tech, right, infrared, so I don't get flare-ups
mm-hmm.
with the oil, but maybe 2 minutes aside. And then I'm bias cutting that on there, and they're just little, they're about the size of a piece of celery, the width-wise that you
oh.
get off there, and maybe only like a quarter inch thick.
Really?
Oh, man, and they're just a two-biter. Oh, they're so good. They're so very good, but, you know, it takes a little
probably a few
around.
Different things you could play around with for stuffing that thing.
Yep. Yeah, these aren't stuffed. The ones I usually do down there, I don't stuff them. I don't take the time. They bring them. I, you know, put the balsamic on them, that honey serrano, and just.
You could wrap them in a chicken breast wrapped in a turkey breast.
Right. Go ahead.
Have the turducken.
Right. Yes. There you go.
That's Cajun, baby.
Yeah, right. It's something. I don't know about that. But anyway, the stuffed goose breast, boy, I am the guy that hasn't had a good goose breast ever. Other than cut up and made into like a stroganoff, I can't figure out a way to make it taste right. It's just a strong, bold flavor. And if you're into that, I suppose, you know, hit us on Facebook and send me your recipe. If you've got a goose recipe that you think is the bomb, then I'd love to try it because I get asked to do it and I'm at a disadvantage. I'm at a blank. I'm like, I don't really know what to do with this thing because it's just
you know,
a big, bold flavor.
Combining the meat, when we were in Denmark, they served us, we had this, it was a 5-star trip, and they served us pigeon wrapped in chicken. That was phenomenal. The pigeon was, it's probably domestic farm raised or something.
Right.
Because that's a big food over there, yeah. And giant turkey.
Yeah.
Baby turkey. So I'm just thinking maybe you could combine those duck breasts with something else that you're going to cook a little more well done on the outside. And have that inside because you're going to only want it medium rare. Wrapping it might protect it.
Right.
I don't know. And you could hide it that way so you can sneak it in
yeah.
people that won't eat it.
Well, sometimes that's the case. Coming up next, if you want to smoke with herb, it might be time. Take a rest. We'll be back.
I started shooting doubles when you walked in. All my friends say, I went a little crazy seeing you with him.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we were talking about some of the things that people drop by and they want to have you help them cook because maybe they've got some game or some fish or something. And you know, when you play around with stuff as much as we do, you learn a few things here and there. And one of the things that happens from time to time is somebody will bring by a big piece of salmon. They went out on the big lake or they've been in the river and they got a coho or they've got a king or something like that, and it's a lot of meat, right? And they're like, well, what do I do with this thing? I can steak it up or I can put a fillet on there, but, you know, what do I do with it? So we thought we might touch a little bit on what it would be to, like, smoke a fish and our ideas on the right and the wrong things to do with that. Kick it off, Barbecue Bob. What are you thinking?
Yeah, and there's so many different things you can do, right, or styles that people like or don't like or, you know. So one of the things that we always do is we plank them, right? And I'm of the opinion, if I plank salmon, that I like to take the skin off it so that I can cut that mud vein out and then brine it, and then set that raw meat on the soaked cedar. It absorbs the flavor more, and it also gets rid of that slime that wants to come out of it because that just is kind of disgusting to me, that white milky slime.
Yep.
But I really like the flavor that comes up into the salmon from the cedar.
Right.
It's not like a neutralizer. It's like kind of like what lemon does, you know? But if you're just going to smoke it, if you're going to grill it, you have to be on a plank if you're taking the skin off. If you're leaving the skin on, you can literally throw that thing right on the skin down.
Put a little oil on it, though, so it doesn't stick.
Then throw your... throw your herbs and lemon slices, whatever you're going to put on top of it, and just grill away, smoke away, whatever you're going to do with it. I would say if you're going to do a bunch of it, and very often if you catch one, it's a pretty good-sized fish, you'll have a bunch of it. So I would cut it up into steaks that are maybe an inch thick, and it's a little
down easy. The fish from head to tail, an inch wide that way.
Yes.
The thickness of the fillet is what you're going to be working with, but... Yep. Left to right, you're going to go about an inch.
Right, because then you can smoke it, you can brine it, smoke it, and then when you process it, it's much easier to take the bones out, and you're not wasting any meat.
Right.
Because then those bones just pull right off. I mean, you can literally grab it by the backbone, and you can pull that whole little section out if you do it right, and they just all stay together and pop off.
So let's talk a little bit about a brine. I think that's an important part of this process.
Got to do it.
What do you use or what would you recommend for a brine?
Well, we have them on our website, of course. So you can go to thegrillingguys.com and look up fish brine, salmon brine, trout brine. But it's a combination of sugar and salt. It's usually like, I think, twice as much sugar as salt. And
water.
Then water. And you got to use warm water, and then you have to chill it. Because when you put that fish in there, you want that water to be cold, and you want to brine it cold. So what I would do is whatever amount of water it's calling for, I'd cut that in half, and then I'd put that in the cooler, whatever you're going to brine it in, and then I'd put equal parts of ice in there, and then just let the ice cool it down so you can throw your fish right into it.
Right.
And that then you get your right water content. The reason you boil it is to dissolve the salt and sugar.
Right.
And I'm also kind of fond of putting a little white wine in there, especially if it's salmon, because, again, it's a little bit punky, and they vary. But if it's caught out of Lake Michigan, it generally is a really good flavor. Some of the stuff you get in the store is
farm-raised.
Varies. It varies if it's where it comes from. Like some of it's just, you know, production stuff that maybe wasn't processed properly, and it's going to be kind of strong. So your brine's going to be really important, but white wine will help you tame that.
Right. And that brine, how long do you leave that in there?
I'm firm. If you've got wine or any kind of acid in there, 6 hours is the max.
Right. You don't want it to cook, if you will, with too much acidity.
But if it's sugar and salt, you can leave it in overnight.
Right. Right. My tip on the brining is that you can do this in a cooler, but line your cooler with a garbage bag, obviously a clean one, but put your brine in your garbage bag, because if you put several fillets in there, that cooler is always going to be the salmon cooler. For whatever reason, they pick up that oil, they pick up that smell, and it's just you're gonna name a cooler forever if you put that salmon in there.
I know of a Yeti that's going to be now permanently a brisket Yeti.
Yeah, right. So, but my point is that if you line it with a trash bag, then it'll work just fine. But you want to put that in there cold at 40 degree or below, brine that stuff off, depending on what you've got in there, 5-6 hours. And then, so you pull it out, and you set it on the counter, and you let it drip dry on a rack,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you put it on baker's racks or cookie racks, whatever. And you let them sit for at least an hour.
Right.
So they form a pellicle.
Right. And the pellicle is not a bad thing, which is what I wanted to talk about next.
It's like a skin.
Yeah, it's like a little clear, almost looks like plasticky little film that develops on there. But what it'll do, it'll really help when you smoke this thing, it'll seal in some of the brine flavors that you put in there and allow this thing to cook really well. So it's a normal part of it. Don't wipe it off. Don't pick it off. It will, once the fish comes to temperature, it will disappear and you'll be fine.
And here's the other thing. Use a really good charcoal. And if you're using the right charcoal, in my opinion, you don't even need to add flavor wood. If you do, it's very little flavor wood, because smoke wants to pick up fish wants to pick up the smoke flavor very easily.
Right.
And I've had a lot of smoked fish that just gave me indigestion. It was so
over-smoked.
Smoky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and
very
when
much
you see
so.
Them real dark in color, all this commercial stuff, smoked chubs and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They're just brown and black, and they're going to be punk.
If you fruit woods, light fruit woods, the
pecan,
apples,
pecan really
and
nice.
Nut wood is good as well, but you don't want a big hickory or oak or mesquite, none of that on that fish. You want to stay on the lighter end of the woods, and you'll be a happy
and
camper.
Now it's important also that your temperature is low.
Right.
So I'm gonna try and smoke it at like 125 to 150.
Right. And how do you know when it's done?
Touch it.
Right. Exactly. I mean, a thermometer in it doesn't matter.
No.
You're going to be able to just touch it, and if it starts to flake away in the thickest part, I mean, you just touch it, you'll see it move, and if it's still a little rubbery and it holds together, it's not done yet. But if you just touch it with the end of your tongs and it starts to flake away a little bit, you're good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can eat fish raw, right? I mean, it's not going to hurt you,
right?
But none of us really like to do it. So
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Braveheart.
But no, anyway. I just lived in Hawaii so long.
But okay, everybody but Bob generally likes their fish cooked, and so you'll know when it's done. But let it rest a little bit too when you pull it off of there, because it'll firm back up a little bit, and it'll be easier to serve.
Wait a minute. You don't like sashimi?
Tuna, but not salmon. We're talking about smoking salmon.
You don't do salmon sashimi?
No, I don't know.
I bet you have, and you didn't know it.
well, I mean, you know, what do you get, the bagels and lox with the salmon?
There's one.
That's usually
There's
smoked,
one.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
But
it
anyway,
is. Yeah,
exactly. Regardless.
Right. Right.
I wasn't going to let that one go unfettered.
I thought so. Okay. So, you know, when you get this, again, Bob mentioned early on that there's a lot of this. You're getting, if you're doing a whole fish, there's a lot of things you can do with it. And one of the great things that I love to do with, after you've served it with the capers and the crackers and things like that, is make a salmon dip.
Chill it.
Right. And our friend Brad Ensing over at Garrett's Appliance makes the best salmon spread I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah.
And
he's got the wrist.
Yeah, he's got her dialed in. You're exactly right. And I don't know the ingredients that he puts in it.
It's cream cheese and green onion.
Yeah, but there's a whole lot of.
No, I'm telling you, I've asked him several times because I want it, and I've still not tried it because I don't think I can do it as well as he does.
Yeah,
but it's really simple. It's green onions and cream cheese.
Dude, I know there's so more good. In it than that because...
Oh, you think he's lying?
I do.
That's why
do.
You call him Fred.
Right, yeah. I'm not going to call him a liar, but I'm going to call him a cook with discerning memory, all right? We'll leave it at that because it's really good. Huge comp to Brad because he makes the best salmon spread I've ever had in my life, and I can't repeat it because he didn't tell me every ingredient that was in it, but... Anyway, coming up next, a little bit of man law. You're going to like it. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
Now you're
today's man law is really, in my opinion, one of the fundamental building blocks of what this show is all about. And what this show is intended to be is a way to help you all hang out with your buddies and do something a little better, up your game. Today's man law, if you don't have buddies, they're not the same as friends. Start developing those friendships now. Most are outlasting marriages at this point.
Well, I think I would agree.
And I got that off the man law page. I didn't make that one up.
Right. But, there's this. I don't know. For me, this is the time of year for buddies.
Very important.
I got a bunch of guys I grew up with in Charlotte. I always refer to them as my Chartucky buddies. But these are guys that I could get. They would do anything for me. Within reason, and give me the shirt off their back if they thought I really needed it. And these are guys I see twice a year, but we grew up together, and they're buddies. They're not just friends. They're buddies. And I see them in the fall. We hunt together, you know, and we'll usually ice fish once together in the winter. But other than that, we're busy. Our lives are busy. We all live in different places. But
will they bury a body? That's the gauge.
But one of us, hopefully I'll be the first to go so we can prove that theory. But because I don't want to do that with one of them. But at the end of the day.
No, I mean excavating equipment, hiding it in the woods.
Right, yeah. We're not that kind of friends. But anyway, yeah, buddies are cool. I mean, it's what it's all about. It's smoke a cigar, drink a beer, eat some good food, hang out, tell the same story year after year year.
I know.
And they always get better. And you laugh at the same thing, and you
to
know
where you're asking them to tell that story right, again.
Right. You sit around the campfire, and if you haven't been brought up, beware. It's coming. And these guys are ruthless because it no one is exempt. We usually stay away from wives and kids, but anything else is fair game, man, and it's raw meat. Hang on. I've brought outsiders to that group before, and they're like, man, you guys are hard on each other. I'm like, no, it's just tough love.
I don't remember you ever bringing me there. Right. That's interesting. Yeah. You brought outsiders.
There's some things I want to expose people to, and others I don't necessarily.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about our event coming up.
Yeah,
November 2nd. November 2nd, and we're knocking on the door. Schmoe's Brewery on Patterson, November 2nd from 5 to 8. It'll go later, but we're going to have a silent auction. I think we might even do a live auction. We got to figure that part out because I'd really like to get some open bidding going on something. Like one of the things we're going to be auctioning off is a barbecue from the Grilling Guys for us to come to your home and put on the Ritz for you. And if you've never had somebody come to your home and put on a barbecue for you, I mean, really top-notch barbecue, I'm going to brag a little bit. We're not going to come in slacking it.
No.
We're going to bring it.
And it's going to be for 20 people.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to get a couple buddies together and bid on this thing because good barbecue is, you know, $30-$40 a person anywhere you go if you want it catered. So we're looking at trying to raise a grand for this thing, and Barbecue Bob and I are not going to hold back. We're going to bring it. You're going to love it, and it's going to be a great time. And you just, you know, get in there and help us out. We're not taking any money. We're providing all the food. Everything there goes to Operation GI Barbecue.
We've got some cool shirts that were just made up by that gentleman that was on the show a few weeks ago, Van Fleet.
Yep.
I believe is his name.
Yep.
So we're going to be selling those Operation GI Barbecue shirts. They're nice gray shirts with the logo on it. And we're going to, if you buy one of those shirts, you're going to get Mug Club pricing on the beer at the event. And
Bob, you realize this is Thursday. Coming Thursday is when this is. And Schmoe's is on Patterson, just north of 28th Street in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's on the east side of the road. You can't miss it. It's right on a corner. And join us there if you would. And we'll make sure that you eat well and you drink well and everybody will have a great time and we're going to raise a little bit of money. But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out there, enjoy the outdoors, and be safe. And we'll talk with you next week. Might have a little dirt on my boots, but I'll take